Welcome to another PI World podcast. This is an audio-only version offered as another way to enjoy our great content. A full video version can be seen on piworld.co.uk, where you can find many more videos of interest to investors. Welcome to the PI World 2020 Roundup of the Year. We're running a series of these interviews with some of our guests from the year, and today we're with Leon Boros, ISA multimillionaire, who we interviewed back in April 2020 and who needs no introduction. Leon, good afternoon.
Hello, good afternoon, Tamsin. Great to be here with you.
Thank you. So tell us how your performance year to date has panned out as the year's gone on.
It's been a volatile year. In March, I was down 23%. And when we spoke, I think in May, I was down still in single digits, I think, from memory. But as we speak, I'm now up 34.3% for the year. So yeah, I'm pretty happy with that.
As you should be. So what's gone really well? What panned out as you imagined it would? And what's really given to that performance?
Well, one of the shares that I mentioned when I presented to you in May was Best of the Best. And at that time, I think the shares may have been around £4. Certainly, they were £3.20 at the start of this year. And soon after that presentation in May, the company announced its results for the year, which were better than expected. In fact, the company had already raised guidance twice during the year, or at least its brokers had. And they came in at 35p earnings per share. What was interesting, though, was that FinCap then raised its forecast for the current year to 70p, so double. Now, that's quite unprecedented. I've not seen that before. The shares raced ahead. I think they got to about £8 or £9 very quickly. And then the company announced a formal sell process. Now, these formal sell processes, which are usually initiated by the companies themselves, in my experience, don't tend to result in takeovers. And we've been waiting a long time now. Apparently, there is interest from multiple parties and also from private equity. But it may be that the company is now trading on a P multiple that puts it out of reach of some of these prospective bidders. So I remain quite sceptical that there will be a bid, but we'll have to wait and see on that one.
And are you continuing to hold? Did you top slice? What did you do when it hit the high?
Well, the high was around £19, it's since come back to around £12. I did sell some. I sold about 25% of the shares at around between £14 and £16. And I've recently been buying back some when we saw the drop last week. I'm still very confident. The company has seen a dramatic increase in the amount of web traffic to its site. In April, it hit 900,000. And then as we went into lockdown, the numbers rose to 2.4 million in September. Now, that came back a bit and in the following months, but in November, it rose again, and we're now back up to around 2 million. Now, I don't know what the correlation is between people who web traffic and financial performance, but certainly it gives you a lot of confidence that earnings are going to be very good this year. Now, FinCap have not raised their estimates, despite the company issuing very positive statements during the course of the last 6 months. I suspect it's because they don't want to put in a higher number into the research, because that may create problems for any bidder for the company, because the share price might run ahead of itself. That's only my guess. But I do suspect that earnings will come in significantly above the 70p that FinCap have been forecasting. People have spoken about £1. I've no idea where it will be. But if it's between 70p and £1, you know, at £12 per share, that still makes the company look incredibly good value, even despite the threefold increase we've seen. In fact, fourfold increase, more or less, we've seen this year.
So if that did happen, where would you expect the share price to settle?
I've no idea. You know, I don't like to speculate on such things.
So moving on to what didn't go so well and what you learnt from that, what during the year went against you?
Well, the main losses have actually been incurred on stocks that I did well with historically, or certainly in 2019. So I do an attribution analysis that looks at my performance during the calendar year. And the biggest loss this year has been on Games Workshop, which may come as a surprise to anyone who's held Games Workshop, because the shares were sort of 60, 70 pounds at the start of the year. They peaked at 120 pounds. I think they're back to just under 100 pounds at the moment. My problem was that in around June or July, I sold my shares for around 42 pounds. And then I didn't have the courage to get back in until the shares were almost touching 100 pounds again. And the mistake was that I placed too much emphasis on the closing of their factory. I'd assumed that they would be able to still run the online business and supply other online players during lockdowns around the world, and that we would continue to generate business. And it turned out that the factory wasn't closed for very long. They were able to reorganize their workflows to comply with the rules. And very quickly, the company was able to recommence manufacturing. And there has been phenomenal demand for its product. I don't know to what extent that's been assisted by COVID. Clearly, its stores will have been greatly affected in its ability for people to come in and play the game within their stores. But clearly, there is more to this company than just people coming into their stores or just playing the game in store. There's clearly a lot of activity, and you'll have seen the recent update that the company provided. I mean, the profit margins are now, operating margins are now 50%. I mean, it's a phenomenal business, and it may be now slightly out of favor because since the vaccine news started coming out on November the 9th, value shares have been so much more popular, and quality growth stocks have sort of fallen back, and Games Workshop has no doubt been impacted by that trend. But that's my biggest regret of the year.
And what did you learn from that?
Not to be overly rational, especially when you haven't got all the information. Mm. It's easy to draw your own conclusions and put one and one together and make three. I drew an incorrect inference and got out at the wrong time. I mean, where I did well was that I got out of any stock that I thought was COVID related in February and March. I assumed Games Workshop would be okay, and I suppose therefore I got nervous when I thought that my original assumption was wrong and decided to sell at that point. But you can't make an omelette without breaking a few eggs, so I am going to make mistakes.
And when did you swallow your pride and buy back in? At what price did you get back in?
Well, I think it was £99. So it was when they released an upgrade or some results. I think it was September that took them to £100.
And in terms of 2021, what are you most optimistic about in your portfolio?
It's a tricky one. I suppose, I've got to draw from my larger positions. When we spoke in May, I think one of your watchers asked which of the six was I least confident, the six companies I presented on. And I said Way Education. I did a lot of work over the summer and into autumn on Way, produced my own financial projections, began to understand the operational gearing in the business. And historically, it's generated no profits. It has been profitable this year. Its returns on capital, operating margins are nothing spectacular, and certainly wouldn't sort of sit alongside my Bioventix, Best of the Best, and Arkentech. But what I've come to realize is that this is a business that is focused on growing the top line for the time being, that marketing costs are a very significant part of whether the business generates a big profit or a lesser profit, that the results that were announced recently were probably suppressed in terms of a marketing spend, a discretionary marketing spend that occurred in the last quarter that will help the business in the current year, but did nothing to help the business in the year that the money was spent. So understanding that, and understanding also the importance of deferred income. Deferred income now represents 26% of revenue. And what deferred income is customers who put deposits down or paid fees in advance in some other way. And what that results or means is that the company can grow using its customers' cash. So they don't have to come back to you or I and do a placing. And we know how private investors lose out in most placings in small companies where the shares are placed with institutions at a discount to the prevailing price. We don't get a look in. Well, there's no risk of that happening here because the company is being financed from money that it raised a few years ago in a placing, but that's now been augmented by significant amounts of money that have come in from customers. And of course, deferred income is a kind of an advanced indicator of good things that could happen, especially if it's rising. It's flagging up the potential. I think this business will end up being sold over the next 3 to 5 years, probably to a US buyer. It's got the capacity to grow significantly. The company's aim is to be the size of a mid-level multi-academy trust, which would be about 10,000 pupils. It's currently at around 3,300. It hopes to achieve that goal within the next 2 years. So, you know, if you treble students, well, what's going to that going to mean for the top line and also for the bottom line? I think the WH Ireland forecasts for this year are too low. I think the company will comfortably do over a penny of earnings, maybe 1.1p of earnings. And I think that the business will continue to do very well in terms of both turnover and profit in the next few years. Now, in my own forecasts, I'm less confident than management that it can achieve this target of 10,000 students in 2 years. Even if I push it out to year four, the company still trades on a forward PE out in 2024 of less than five, based upon my own numbers. Now, you know, I'm not warranting those numbers. They're based upon my own thoughts, and I'd encourage any investor watching to sort of produce their own figures. But certainly you can get some very interesting metrics if the company is able to execute. And that's the big question mark. You know, can this management team execute? I still have, you know, they're an unusual management team in some ways. And as with all, have their own idiosyncrasies. So it'll be interesting to see whether they can execute. They've certainly done well up to date. And I think Jackie Daniels, the CEO, is a very sensible operator. She grew up, she developed this business. It was her business that was acquired by the then CEO of Way. She's done well. And I think the business is going to really perform over the next period. Whether it can get all that performance in 2021, I don't know. Maybe the share price performance will come through in subsequent years. I can't promise on timing on this one. I just know that in 3 to 5 years' time, the company's going to be worth a lot more than it is today.
Tremendous. And you can find other year roundup interviews with some of our 2020 guests at piworld.co.uk. In the meantime, wishing you a very happy and prosperous 2021. And the same to you, Leon. Thanks very much indeed.
Thank you and goodbye.
PI World videos and podcasts are for general information and interest. They do not constitute any kind of recommendation or inducement to buy shares of any company. PI World is not offering any kind of financial advice, and nothing in our material should be taken as such.